Well, good afternoon, brethren. I hope you're all having a relaxing and peaceful Sabbath. As we finish up this holiday season, I really feel a sense of maybe comfort, relaxation, knowing that all of these saccharine attitudes that we have been bombarded with over the past month or so, and this display of religion that's prevalent around, or is finally going to subside. And the truer nature of people will maybe come back, that of cruelty, hatred, all of those debased attitudes. Those now maybe will bubble back to the surface and show themselves in a more normal manner. To the Laodicean church, an era that we an attitude of a people that we live in and that we can reflect in our attitudes as well. It was said to them, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are neither, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So much disdain does God and Christ have against this Laodicean attitude, these fence setters, these saccharine attitudes that they would rather they be cruel and hatred, that we would be cold, or that we would be hot, but not in the middle, not that fake attitude, an attitude that promotes and thinks that maybe we keep and follow after God, but that through action and through principles do not. It's easy to look upon, I would say, the genuine efforts of people that they make throughout this world during this time of the year and think, well, Christmas can't be all that bad. I mean, completely, because something good can come out of it. People are fed. People are given gifts and donations more than any other time of the year. Now, maybe they're forgotten soon, but, some good things come out of this time. Or maybe looking at the beauty of our downtown, for instance, in Fort Collins, and all of the lights, the decorations, and it is, they've really outdone themselves this year. It's quite a sight to see the downtown. But going through that and seeing that and forget the corruption that illuminates every one of those lights. That light and what it stands for, or those lights and what they stand for, are fading. Those bulbs burn out, and relying on those lights, those temporary lights, will leave you eventually in utter darkness. But that is the crux of Satan's desire. And although he tries to replace God, he never gets it right, because he too, and all that he is passing away. And we see all of the temporary illumination in our cities, and how beautiful it can be, but how temporary it is. It makes me think to a future time in this creation when the world will be illuminated in a completely different, in a completely lasting way. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 22. Revelation 21 and beginning in verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who were saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is going to be the illumination that lasts, that will fill this world with true joy, with true blessings. but we aren't there yet. None of us have the light of Christ and the Father illuminating us completely. There is still darkness within each of us that defiles, that separates us, that lies, that leads us astray. But it's the reason that we are given the Bible. It's the reason we're giving examples of the teachers and all the elders throughout the Bible. It's for our benefit. You know, we must test ourselves then continually to make sure that we aren't up on hilltops shining with a light that isn't God's, thereby leading even others into destruction. Because we are lost. We are shining with light that isn't from God. You know, many of our brethren have fallen into this attitude because it's so easy to allow yourself to fall and be drawn away from God when you rely on yourself. Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12, and it's also mirrored in Proverbs 16, 25 as well, but we'll look at verse 12 here in chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I would say its end is the way of darkness. And what the terms here, seems right, is really an understatement for how strongly mankind inculcates their own desires into their way of life. You know, another way you could praise this maybe, is there is a way that becomes the foundation of life, but it leads to death. That is how permissive mankind promoting its own way becomes. Well, Paul dealt with this attitude and called it out for really what it is, at least those, and specifically for those that have God's Spirit. Galatians 2, and beginning of verse 11. Galatians 2, and beginning of verse 11. I'm going to read this out of the NIV version. Galatians 2 and verse 11, when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him, this is Paul speaking, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Verse 13, the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. You know, this attitude of self-reliance, of self-realization, only leads to hypocritical actions and hypocritical thoughts. And it leads to an extinguishing of God's light that should be burning bright within us, as lampstands, as lights on hills. And it can affect even the greatest of us, that hypocrisy. It can seep in even amongst any of us. Well, Paul spoke to the attitude that we must take in order to test and prove whether we are of the God of the Bible or of the devil. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. Romans 12 and beginning of verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, his advice for those who have this light of God burning within themselves is shown in verse 9 in this same chapter. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. A simple statement, and absolutely a foundation of our religion. Let love be without that hypocrisy that creeps in. Remove yourself, abhor that which is evil, and take hold of the good. And you would think that abhorring evil and clinging to good would be enough. But he begins by warning us to watch for hypocrisy. Peter obviously abhorred evil. He was a foundational member, a leader in the church. He abhorred evil. He clung to what was good. But he allowed, by his actions, hypocrisy to enter the church. It spread, and the light that he and others were producing became counterfeit, divisive, and not of God. It can happen to any of us, brethren. None of us are shielded from allowing that hypocrisy, allowing that fake religion to enter into our lives. It's something we all have to strive to push out. So, brethren, let us carefully watch and strengthen and protect this gift so that it does not be corrupted by that kind of hypocrisy. Let us be found feeding on and growing and clinging to the light that is God's truth.